a family meeting today on the Brian Lehrer Show, our noisy lives. We have two guests now who can help you deal with other people and businesses who you think should pipe down and can help you insulate yourself through technology and personal strategy to make the intruding sounds a little less intrusive. Arlene Bronzoff, the legendary anti-noise activist and environmental psychologist, board member for Grow NYC, formerly called the Council on the Environment in New York City, and Alan Feierstein, owner of Acoustalog, an acoustics consulting business. Welcome to WNYC. Thank you both for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Brian.
And folks, if you want advice on how to deal with the noise issue in your home, your workplace, your neighborhood, call in 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you want help with how to deal with other people or with the city agencies that might help, call in. If you want help with insulation, earplugs, white noise versus pink noise, some other color noise, how do we assign colors to sounds? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And some of you know we've been asking on Twitter for the last few days, what are the most annoying sounds in New York City? Some of your responses, and this comes up a lot, you know that emergency exit door in the subway stations? You know that sound that's supposed to provide safety now every time a truck backs up? Somebody wrote in about that. I say to the people who use the subway door, why can't you wait 10 seconds for a turnstile? And in one much retweeted nomination for the most annoying New York noise, one of you tweeted Donald Trump.
You'll have the great pleasure of voting for the man that will easily go down as the greatest president in the history of the United States. Me, Donald John Trump.
So did you hear he might run for governor against Cuomo this year? Yeah, right, that's what he says. But what else is a noise issue in your life that you would like some advice about? 212-433-WNYC for Arlene Bransaft and Alan Feierstein, who are here to help. Alan, what are some of the most common jobs your company does?
We get a lot of calls from people who have noisy neighbors upstairs. We get a lot of calls from people who have noisy commercial equipment and music downstairs or outside bars, nightclubs, restaurants.
And Arlene, he mentioned from neighbors. And when I look at these stats from 311, which are incredible, hundreds of thousands of calls logged every year to complain about noise. I've seen that about half of them have to do with neighbor noise, right?
Yes. Well, let me tell you, neighbor noise is a major problem. But that is not covered by the New York City Noise Code. A person has a right to a reasonable quiet in his or her apartment. It's called warranty of habitability. And the complaint has to go to the landlord or the managing agent. You have a contract with your landlord, or if you're living in a co-op, it's still the lease. And if you're a reasonable person, and you're not just complaining about an occasional drop of a toy every 3 months, then you have the right to the quiet of your apartment, and you should take action with your landlord or with the managing agent, and don't be shy about it.
So that's the first line of defense. If you have to complain, if you can't get relief from the person themselves, is go to your landlord or managing agent.
If you ask nicely and you're reasonable, remember, you can't bring an action against the neighbor above. Your contract, as I said, is with your landlord. And that's the number one complaint that comes to me personally.
What about in a co-op or a condo where you own?
Same thing. It is a state law. Warranty of habitability. You have the right to live in your apartment and not be exposed to floors that are not carpeted with people running across them at 11 o'clock at night. And I have helped people with that, and I encourage everyone who listens to make sure that they realize they have this right. Remember, people talk about rights, the right to make noise. Well, your right stops at my ear, I have a right to some quiet. And I think people should be more assertive about it and take charge and not just be miserable about it.
Robert on the Upper West Side. You're on WNYC. Hi, Robert.
How you doing?
Good. You have a noise problem?
Yes. So the problem is people get these new stereos with these super subwoofers, and they blast them at any time. And the biggest argument I have a neighbor that does the same thing and been told over and over, he says, why don't you get a headset? He says, what good is having a good bass if you have to have a headset?
Right.
And
so,
the bass is unbelievable. I mean, they get up early in the morning because they go to work early, and they put the stereo on. 6:15 in the morning.
Yeah, thank you. And let's see if we can get you one or another way to get some relief. Alan, I think it used to be that when people bought two speakers, one was the left and one was the right. Now you buy two speakers and one is the woofer and one is the tweeter. So there's this unbelievable bass that's being generated. Robert's not the only one with this problem.
You also have the type of music that produces a lot of bass. Hip-hop, even jazz is increasing the amount of bass that they put on the recordings. I owned a recording studio for 29 years. I was subject to that. I had to replace my woofers constantly in my recording studio until I built a preventive device. But preventive devices are a good idea. First, you should do what Arlene says, but I think you should start with your neighbor. Talk to your neighbor first before you go to the landlord, the managing agent. Right, Arlene?
Yes, talk to your neighbor, but do it politely. I always say talk to your neighbor. In many cases, people do respond. But if the neighbor does not respond, and that's when I get those cases and they contact Row NYC, then you have to talk to your landlord. And in terms of bass, I want people to understand those sounds affect the body. We're not just talking about noise. We're talking about a pollutant that is intrusive on the person's body, and it affects health and well-being. So it isn't just a matter of, oh, let's get used to the noise. And by the way, we don't get used to it, we adapt, and that uses energy, and that's an expense to the body. Noise is a hazard. Noise is harmful to health and well-being. It's not Arlene Bronsaf saying it. It's the World Health Organization, and literature abounds on the detrimental effects of noise to our health and well-being.
Alan?
Well, I would also say that if you don't get a response that's satisfactory from the people you talk to about it, then you have to basically prove that you have the problem. And that's why a lot of people call me to make these clandestine recordings that I make in people's apartments, not just of noise from bass, but noise from pounding footsteps, garbage chutes, elevators, etc.
And how about things that that people can do to muffle the sound or reduce, you know, how much the sound comes into your apartment from their apartment? For example, having two kids growing up who played the piano and living in apartment buildings, mm-hmm. I learned that one thing that's good for us to do as responsible citizens is put a few layers of carpeting underneath the piano.
Right.
And we also put a futon behind the piano, between the piano and the wall. And this is all to spare primarily the downstairs neighbors, because that's the way the sound travels, Alan, primarily, right?
Well, that's a very appropriate thing you did, especially if the piano was an upright piano, because
the soundboard
is on the back.
These
it's
are
vertical,
upright.
And
it's
putting
an
that futon
piano, right,
or something that blocks the sound.
My apartment isn't big enough for a grand.
Yeah.
You use the word responsible, and that's a key word. You know, our founding fathers were terrific. They gave us a Bill of Rights. But a civilized society requires responsibility. And I'm glad you used that word. But this doesn't, you know, there are other noises that are increasing in the city of New York that we have to address as well. And one of these that more neighborhoods are exposed to is aircraft noise. And that's the responsibility of the government. And they're not being that responsible. So we have neighborhoods now where the planes are flying much lower and causing much more harm to the people.
Really? You mean around Kennedy and LaGuardia airports,
yes,
primarily?
Yes. An airspace redesign program was introduced where they originally in 1999 said they'd come up with aircraft that would be safer, more efficient, and they would look at the noise. By 2001, the Federal Aviation Administration dropped that. So that people that are living in Queens and sections of Manhattan, Brooklyn, are finding it much noisier. And I have a daughter that lives in Queens. So I'm not just speaking about this mm-hmm. as a person that just had someone call me, I go to my daughter's house quite frequently, and I'm going to tell you, the government has not been very responsive, and people are clamoring about the problem.
So, Alan, Keith Hernandez famously used to step out of the batter's box at Shea Stadium when a plane was flying over, taking off or landing at LaGuardia. If I remember correctly, Rudy Giuliani, when he was a candidate for mayor, criticized David Dinkins as mayor because he would redirect the planes not to go over the tennis stadium there, but he wouldn't do it for the Mets. More contemporary Mets players do the same thing that Keith Hernandez did. But when you don't have that luxury, when you're not a million-dollar athlete, Alan, and you live near Kennedy or LaGuardia Airport, short of what Arlene is hoping for, which is to get the government to do something, what can people do in their homes if they live near the airports?
Well,
let me ask Alan.
Now I'll tell you what I've done.
Before I answer that, let me just tell you that all airlines and general aviation as well do take into account noise patterns, and they try to mitigate the noise as much as possible. One way is to climb.
I disagree.
To climb as fast as possible, which means high power, and then level off as soon as possible at a lower power before they can get away from that metropolitan area. However, if they do have noise problems, people can install double-glazed windows, and not all double-glazed windows are alike. There's also a triple system that can be put in, but they're not triple-glazed windows. It's taking your double-glazed windows and enhancing them by adding an additional interior window. The various companies that make those, in fact, some of them are available for renters. They don't have to be permanently attached, so you can take them out when you move out of the apartment.
Arlene, what did you want to disagree with?
I'm going to disagree with you, Alan. I mean, I've been spending quite a bit of time dealing with the community groups in New York City that are fighting aircraft noise. I would love to be able to state, as you said, that the people that are flying our planes are so fully cognizant of noise and trying to lessen it for the people. I would gladly invite you to any of the meetings that I will be attending in the future, so that you can have dialogue with the people who are being awakened at 6 a.m. by a plane coming over. And actually, if you go out to Rosedale now, you can practically touch the planes. So with all due respect to the fact that I do fly and I do appreciate aviation, we can still do it in a way that's less intrusive upon people.
I think Marilyn in the Rockaways wants to get in on this conversation. Hi, Marilyn.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. Arlene has been great, a great advocate for noise. I'm affected by the JFK noise, and the flights coming over my house sometimes exceed 100 decibels. And JFK has flights 24 hours a day. We get a lot of overnight cargo flights, which affect different areas. It affects the Rosedale, Springfield Gardens area out in Nassau. They're clamoring about it, the Rockaway Peninsula, and people can't sleep. It has a horrible impact on our health. There are studies where it affects your blood pressure and causes cardiovascular disease. And
so, Marilyn, what are you asking for? Because the planes are going to come down over somebody's house, so what is it that you're exactly hoping for?
Well, you know, the Port Authority has not volunteered to do a Part 150 study, and thank goodness the state legislator passed the bills, and the governor actually vetoed the bill but ordered the Port Authority to do a Part 150 study.
Marilyn, I'm going to leave it there. And Arlene, in 15 seconds, what's a Part 150 study?
It's just knowing exactly what your noise problems are so that you can remedy them. It's actually just looking and seeing how the noise is affecting individual neighborhoods, what the levels are, and only then can you take action to remedy it. And we have refused to know what our problem is, so in other words, we don't have to remedy it.
BJ in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, BJ.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I know one of the recommendations is going to be to speak to my neighbors because that's what the call is about. Also, I'd like to say there's no victim and no perpetrator in this, just an unfortunate circumstance in that I'm a rent-controlled renter and the people above me are condo owners, and the several owners before them gutted the whole apartment, including the floor. I know the contractor who did the work. And when they replaced the floor and neglected to put in an acoustic barrier, which I believe is required by law, my upstairs neighbors, my newest ones, are not noisy, in my opinion. I just hear their footsteps and other sounds that moving furniture might make on the floor. And apart from speaking to them, I mean, I haven't done that, and I know that I should. I wanted to go up at a reasonable hour. I'm wondering if there's any other recourse, being as I'm a rent control tenant.
Do they have carpeting? Do they have carpeting? Do they have adequate floor covering? That could ameliorate the situation.
If they would do it, and I guess I'd have to go up there to find out about that.
I have
to say, at this moment, I don't know. A door person who went up there, well, I think he went up about with the previous tenants, the previous owners.
Well, if you
want to
contact me at Grow NYC, I'll work with you on it.
All right, BJ, looks like you got some assistance lined up. Alan, back to Kennedy Airport for a minute. You're a pilot?
Yeah. Kennedy, as well as LaGuardia and Newark, all have a runway called 22. It's the biggest runway. It's the one that points 220 degrees to the southwest. Airplanes, for safety, have to take off in that direction. Unfortunately for people in the Rockaways, it's pointing at the Rockaways.
Are you familiar with the new airspace redesign program?
Not at all.
I suggest you look at it. Look at it at 1999 and then look at the revised version of 2001.
Howard on the Upper West Side. You're on WNYC.
Hi. We have a wonderful neighborhood here, except for the fact that there is a nightclub across the street. And when the people are in the nightclub, it's perfectly wonderful. They're having a wonderful time, having a little bit of drink, not too much. But at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they say they are closed way before 4 o'clock in the morning, but it's 4 o'clock in the morning, they come out, and they are having a wonderful time on the street. And we have to deal with it. And they have their ears from the noise on the inside and a little bit of alcohol, and they're taking 45 minutes to say goodbye to each other.
So let's say Howard called 311, or Arlene, is that what you would recommend?
If he called 311, the police could respond to that. Does he get the noise in his home at 4 a.m.? Is it loud enough that if I had someone come in from DEP, I can get some measurements there?
Oh, sure.
So I could ask DEP to look into it? Yes.
And the thing is, I do call 311, and I've even called the precinct, and they say, oh, they never heard of it. Well, I'm the first one that called. And in the elevator in the morning, everybody says, did you call? Because I called. Everybody seems to call, and we seem to get no response whatsoever.
Here's the deal. Contact me at Grow NYC, and let's see if we can work on it.
Okay.
I promise your community I'll do that.
Terrific.
Personal service. Howard, there you go. And we've got a link to the Grow NYC webpage for anybody else who wants it now or later at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Do you deal with headphones and white noise generators and stuff like that, Alan? Is this within your area of technical expertise? Like, we're going to be talking to our next guest about creative people and how they like to work, either more noisy or less noisy. We're going to refer to Jonathan Franzen, the Brooklyn writer who once said he likes to work with a pink noise generator. What's the difference, Alan, if you know, between pink noise and white noise? And who do you recommend use what when?
Well, pink noise sounds like this. White noise sounds like this. There's a lot more high frequency or treble sound than white noise. It's not really a good noise source to use to block most noises. Pink noise is better, but it's still not good enough. What some people have done is they've come to me and I've designed for them custom what I call black noise generators. And the black noise generator produces a sound that is generally more acceptable than the constant bus idling sound that may be coming in through their windows. And they can control it. And control of noise is one of the things that gives people more ability to deal with the noise. So that type of noise generator is more effective, but they're not commercially available, unfortunately.
Are there any other color noises?
Not really, not the ones that are commonly used. But white noise is the generic term for any kind of masking sound.
Peter in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Peter.
Yes. Hello, Brian.
What's your question?
Oh, yes. Okay. I was prompted, thank you for taking my call, I was prompted to look up the New York law on noise after 10 years of fighting with my super, who lives on the same floor as tenants. And on a week after Christmas, he said, if I don't like the loud radio noise, call the cops, and implied that you can do anything you want until 10 p.m. Well, this, I'd like an explanation of what the law means. Local Law 113 says specifically that between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m., you can't have a noise going into your apartment that's 7 decibels above ambient noise at 15 feet from the source, like if the radio or TV was 15 feet away from you. And between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m., the noise cannot be 10 decibels or more above ambient noise. What does this mean, and how do I measure it, and what can I do to say it's louder or figure it's louder or not louder?
You're looking at the New York City noise code?
Yeah, well, it said Local Law 113.
Yes, but remember, your rights in your apartment are governed by a lease. And the lease allows you requisite quiet, provided you're reasonable. And it depends less on decibel levels and much more on reasonableness. And if you're finding this is bothering you during the day, you're talking during the day as opposed to the night, remember, people work in their homes today. The world has changed. The computers have made it different because people now were in their homes when they were out working, so they didn't hear the everyday sounds of the children playing or the children crying. But life has changed. So I think you have a right as an individual to requisite quiet. And it isn't just a matter of decimals. Is it intrusive on your work?
Well, I'm retired, so I'm home much of the day now, and you know, the super is just does whatever he wants. And you know, at 9:30 at night, he's playing the radio so loud that I can hear it behind my bathroom door shut.
Hang on a second, Alan wants to weigh in on this too, and we're running out of time, but I want to get one caller in that has an outrageous story that actually two people have now turned up with a similar one. But Alan, on Peter's problem?
Well, first of all, since you have a super who's making the noise, that's really directly responsible for the landlord. So that's good. Number two, you can hire a lawyer, but first I would suggest you write a letter. On my website, I have a suggested letter for info for renters. Send a certified return receipt, just like Arlene says. Complain about it nicely, but you should do it. And the important thing to realize is that the section that you're referring to is indeed, as Arlene pointed out, the New York City Noise Code. There's a section called 24-218, which is entitled Unreasonable Noise. And it's just one sentence. It doesn't permit unreasonable noise.
And I want to hear Sarah in Manhattan's story because it's outrageous. Sarah, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. I live in on the Upper West Side. I am well into my 80s. I have been living in a rental apartment in a building which has gone co-op. My husband passed away. We were a pretty good team, well known. I had a severe accident, and I'm somewhat infirm. I managed to get around, but I'm basically not well. What has happened is there's a new management, and they are harassing me. And the woman who spoke about health, my health has gone downhill because they have put someone in charge of ringing my bell all night into the wee hours of the night so that I cannot sleep. I had my bell disconnected. One night he came back, whoever is there hired to do this, and had his own bell, which woke me up. I am terrified of who's out there. This goes on irregularly, regularly.
Sarah, are you saying that the management company,
they're trying to destroy my health,
they want you to leave your rent stabilized apartment, trying to kill you. They want they want you to leave, right? Is that what they want?
Now that I have no husband with me and my health is obviously impaired, it's hard for me to get around.
And forgive me, Sarah, I'm going to get a response because we're about out of time. But you know,
I will
two people have called in with this story. that in the other person's case, they said more explicitly that the landlord wants them to leave their apartment so they can use it for other purposes, and they're harassing them by ringing their doorbell all the time.
Let me tell you, this isn't unusual. There happens to be a pattern here of women who are single and older that are being harassed by managing agents and landlords. This is not a unique case to me because I've had several of them, and I will personally intervene on behalf of these people if they contact me at Grow NYC.
All right.
It's outrageous.
And we're going to...
I've had a number of cases like this. This is not that unusual to me.
Sarah, good luck. Contact Arlene Bronsaft. And Alan, who should contact you?
Anyone who has a noise problem that hasn't been able to resolve it through the normal diplomatic channels.
By the way, Arlene, did something happen in the last year? Because those stats from 311, in 2013, the number of noise complaints, 260,000, was 30% higher than 2012.
No, about 16%. They went up quite a bit. I double-checked on it. It was about a 30,000 increase. And part of the reason I got as an explanation, because I already looked to hypotheses as to why, you now can do 311 online. The overall number used to be several years ago over 300,000. It's still the number one complaint. And to me, whether it's 260 or 230,000, it's still a lot. So the numbers have gone up a bit, but I want to know why. It could be because there's been the ability to contact 311 online. Mm-hmm, that could have caused an increase.
Right.
Possibly the noise that people are subjected to because of the rehab of the Brooklyn Bridge and not having taken some precautions to lessen the sound to the people living there. We have to rehab the bridge, but we should have been a little more cognizant of the backup beeps and using quieter
jackhammer. Yeah, so many complaints.
So that
complaints
may have done it. But the number compared
Brooklyn
to
over the Brooklyn Bridge
is down.
Thank you very much. And
thank
you to you both. Arlene Bronsaft, the legendary anti-noise activist and environmental psychologist, board member for Grow NYC, formerly called the Council on the Environment in New York City, and Alan Feierstein, owner of Acoustalog, an acoustics consulting business. We'll put both of their contact information on our page. You can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Our family meeting, Our Noisy Lives, continues in a minute. We have some sounds of noise through history with David Hendy, who did a 30-part series on the history of the world in sound for the BBC. And he also wrote an op-ed suggesting that he likes to work in noisy environments, so stop trying to make it so quiet all the time. Stay with us.